You're listening to another inspirational message from Bell Road Church. If you live in the North Phoenix area and are looking for a church community, we'd love to have you join us. It's a great place for the whole family where you can have fun and grow closer to Jesus. For more information, visit us at www.bellroadchurch.com.
Good to see you guys here this morning, and I hope that you're excited to be here. I'm excited that you're here. Today's going to be good. We're going to look at a cool story in Acts chapter 8. If you have your Bible, feel free to go there, and we'll get there in just a few moments. And by the way, my name's Tyrone, the pastor here, and I want to start off by throwing out a question to you. Have you ever felt like God spoke to you in a moment and asked you to do something? Has he ever done that? You know, and God loves to do that in moments, him by his spirit. Like, and here's the cool thing about being a follower of God. When you and I put our faith in Jesus and trust in him and what he did for us on the cross, the Bible promises us that the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, God himself, comes and lives inside of us, which is one of those like mind-blowing things. It's incredible. So God himself lives inside of us and he wants to speak to us. And so has that ever happened to you where you felt like the Holy Spirit was prompting you or speaking to you and you're in this moment of decision. You're like, okay, what do I do? Oh, shoot. And sometimes it can be really uncomfortable. And God's calling you to step out of your comfort zone. And we don't like that, right? Because we like to put borders on our trust and our faith. Okay, God, there's a limit to how much I'm going to trust you. And that's way outside of it, you know. And that's why I love that song. Hey, I want to have trust without borders. And so sometimes we have these moments where we're faced with a decision where the Spirit is speaking to us, and it can be hard. It can be tough. Now, even as I talk about this, for some of you, you're like, man, I've never felt that before. It's never happened to me. And I want to put your mind at ease and let you know there's nothing wrong with you. You know, God doesn't not like you, and that's why he hasn't done that to you. I just think it's important for us to open up our heart to him and basically put ourselves in a position for him to speak to us. Because here's what I know about God. He wants to speak. He can speak. And he loves to speak and prompt his children throughout our lives. And so in light of that, I would encourage all of us just to be open for more of that to happen in our life. And we're going to look at a story that talks about that very thing. Because we're diving back into the book of Acts. We've been on the series a couple of times here on Acts. We call it Go Forth because it really is a story of God's people birthing the church and then going forth, taking the gospel to really everyone they possibly can, and the church moves as they go forth. It's also our theme for this year. Our theme is go forth because that's how we want to live too. We want to be people who don't just say, thank you, God, for what you've done in my life and keep it to myself, but we want to go forth to our friends and to our city and say, hey, this message of the gospel, it'll change your life. And so this is a theme for us. For us to begin to think and continue to think, let's take this outside of this room. Let's take this to the people that really need to hear the life-changing message of the gospel. So that's why we're calling the series through the book of Acts, Go Forth. Now, the Acts book is technically called the Acts of the Apostles, right? I think it should be more accurately called the Acts of the Holy Spirit because we really see the Holy Spirit moving in his people and leading and guiding them. And that's all the stories that we read about. We'll look at one here today where it's the Spirit speaking and moving on his people. And in the book of Acts, at least 56 times you see the Holy Spirit referenced specifically, at least. So it's, you know, more than any other book. So really this book is about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes front and center stage and begins to speak and move and empower his people. And through that, the church grows. Now, Jesus said that he would build his church. And so we begin to see in the book of Acts how he's going to build this church. And how does he do that? He does it through men and women just like you and me. He uses us. But even more specifically, this is how Jesus builds his church. We see him using men and women just like you and me who fully trust in God and allow the Spirit to lead them. That's how the church grows. And that's how we see the church beginning to grow here in the book of Acts. And so as we let me just set up the background here before we dive into the story, just to kind of give us a framework and to catch us up, because for some of us, if you've been around here, it's been a while since we've been in the book of Acts. So we got to, where are we at? What's going on? Where are we at? Okay, so chapter 8 is where we're at, right in the middle of the chapter. There's intense persecution going on in the church. So much so that the church has to actually flee and scatter for their lives. Now, the first seven chapters of the book of Acts all center around the city of Jerusalem. So the Holy Spirit comes and baptizes, begins to empower his people, and it begins to use them and the church's birth and begins to grow and multiply, but it's all in the city of Jerusalem. Well, the persecution kind of continues to grow as well as the church grows. And then Stephen is martyred for his faith, and then at that moment, like, all hell breaks out on the church. Intense persecution. Saul, who's this guy we're going to look at next week in Acts chapter 9, Saul is this guy that's leading the charge. He's arresting Christians, throwing them in prison. Some people are getting killed for their faith. So this is a very tough time to be a follower of Christ. And think about this. For the first seven chapters, it's been fun. For the most part, it's been easy. The people that are really getting persecuted in the first seven chapters are just the head leaders. That's it. The rest of the church is enjoying favor with the city. The great things are happening. More people are getting saved. They're having fun hanging out in each other's homes. They're eating food. They're just thanking God for what he's doing in their life. Hey, this is awesome. And think about them. These are Jews that are now Christians, followers of Christ, and they've only known the presence of God to be in one room in the temple. But all of a sudden now, the presence of God is living inside of them. So like this, they're saying, this is awesome. The Holy Spirit himself, God himself, lives in me now. And so they're feeling more alive than ever. And it was a good time to be a follower of Christ until it wasn't, when the persecution became really hard and really intense. And so, and end of 7, beginning of chapter 8, we see that all the Christians have to start fleeing for their lives. The church begins to scatter. But what we see is that God uses this time of persecution, which is a really tough time, but he uses this to build his church. It's pretty awesome how God uses any and every season to continue to build us, his people, and his church, and to continue to grow the church. Now, think about this. These followers of Christ, they're faced with a pretty tough decision. Am I going to still be a follower of Christ? Or am I going to kind of like go hide my faith and kind of like not be public about this, because that would be so much easier? Because then I don't have a threat of being thrown in prison. None of my family does. Or worse yet, I won't be executed. So this is a tough moment for them. It could be a crisis of faith where they could say, you know what? This is getting too hard. I wasn't planning on this. I enjoyed the fun, easy season, but wait, Jesus, you never told me about this. I didn't sign up for the hardship. I'm out. And they could have easily done that. And maybe even some did. But what we see is most actually become people who trust more in God, and they allow the Spirit to lead them. And as the church begins to scatter, the church begins to grow. It's awesome. And that's what I love about the church. No matter what people try to do to stop the church continues to grow. Why? Because the church is alive. Because the Spirit of God is moving in and through his people. And as we continue to allow that to happen, the church continues to grow. So from this moment in Acts chapter 8, the church began to grow outside the city of Jerusalem, began to hit the region, just like Jesus had prophesied and said, I'm going to send you out, I'm going to empower you, and it's going to grow from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the world. So you fast forward 2,000 years later, and here we are. The church has grown to the ends of the world, and it still continues to grow today. Even right now, think about it. Right now, as we sit here and hang out in this room, people are coming to faith by the hundreds in Africa right now. The church begins to grow. There's people in the underground church in China that are committing their life to Jesus, and the church is growing. You know, maybe even just down the road in a coffee shop, a couple are having a conversation right now, and someone is committing their life to Jesus. And right here, the church is growing, because the church is alive, because the Spirit of God is alive. You know, we can try to stop the church, but it's not going to happen. A government can try to stop the church, but it's not going to stop the church. The church will continue to grow. No matter what laws are placed even in our country, the church will grow because it's alive. I mean, you look at China, for example. China closed its doors, no missionaries, no Christian influence. And so all the Christians outside were worried about China. Like, what's going to happen? The church is going to die. And so for decades, we had no idea what was going on in China. We're just hoping and praying that there's a few believers left. And decades later, when the government finally lets Christians back in to connect and talk to people in China, what do they discover? An underground church that's full of millions of followers of Christ. The Spirit of God just moved. It doesn't matter what the government does. The church continues to grow because it's alive, and I love that. So how does the church grow? really through men and women just like you and me, ordinary people who fully trust in God and allow the Spirit to lead them in their life. So let's look at this story here. Is that enough setup for us? All right. You ready? Ready for the story? Acts chapter 8, verse 26 says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Cool story right there. Brings us to the end of chapter 8. So how does this all start? So Philip, he was one of the leaders in the church in Jerusalem. So he's one of these guys that is scattered now. He's left Jerusalem. And in fact, it says the whole church scatters with the exception of the apostles. They stayed in Jerusalem. So all the churches scattered all throughout the region. Philip goes into Samaria. So a few months ago, when we were in the beginning of chapter 8, we looked at how Philip went into Samaria and he preaches the gospel. People are getting healed. People are getting saved. People are getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's this really cool thing. And so God is doing a great thing through Philip's ministry in Samaria. And so here he is. He's hanging out in this Samaritan town. An angel comes and visits him with a message from God. Now, I've heard stories about people getting visited by angels. In fact, when I was growing up, I heard lots of stories. I can remember my mom having the 700 Club, and he watched the 700 Club. I can remember watching the 700 Club as a kid, and they're seeing these stories about this angel came and visited me, and it just freaked me out. I'm like, I remember as a kid thinking, okay, God, I love you, I believe in you, but don't send an angel. That would be way too scary. I do not want to see an angel. And it makes sense, too, because anytime you see in the Bible, when someone sees an angel, what does the angel say? It says, "Fear not." Why do you think the angel almost always says that? It's because that person's freaked out. An angel's in front, like, "Oh, Lord," you know. And like, so the angel says, "Fear not." Okay, this is interesting because in this story, Philip doesn't get freaked out. So this is like one of the few stories where the person is not scared. The angel doesn't have to say, "Fear not." So the angel says, "Hey, God has a message for you. Leave where you're at and head down on that road. You know that desert road that goes way out into the desert, goes south of Jerusalem out towards Gaza? Yeah, go on that road." Interesting message for Philip. Philip has a very thriving ministry and church that's growing in Samaria. And so God essentially is saying, "I got a new assignment. I got something different for you. Leave the crowds. And you're going to go all alone out onto this desert road." And Philip's faced with a decision, which could be a tough decision. Man, all this, do you see what's happening, God? Hey, this is pretty good. You want me to leave this and go like all on my own into the desert? Seriously? And sometimes God will lead us, even allow us to go into these seasons where it's like a desert, guys, where it's dry, we're all alone. And it's amazing how God uses those seasons as well. Obviously, he has a plan and a purpose for this. That's why he's coming and telling Philip this. But we find ourselves in these desert seasons, and God will always use that season. Why? Because he's faithful. He'll never let us down. In fact, oftentimes we grow more in those seasons when we're feeling all alone and we're feeling dry and in that desert season. God really shows us that he is God, more so than any other season. In fact, it happened to Jesus. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert. So it happened to him. Of course, it's going to happen to us as well. Now, when we read stories like this, I think it's important for us to sometimes take a step back and not just enjoy the story, like, oh, that's cool, I like that. You're speaking to Philip, you're doing great things through Philip, it's awesome. But I think it's good for us to step back and say, hey, God, how can I apply this to my life? What can I learn from this? And one of the biggest, most clearest things I think we can learn from this story is, you know what, God? I want you to do in my life what you did in Philip's life. I give you permission to speak to me, God. If you have an assignment for me, if you want to give me some direction, if you want to prompt me to go and do something, go and have a conversation with somebody, God, I just want to make myself available and willing to do that. That's a great lesson we can learn from this story. Here's Philip, someone who is obviously in tune with God, staying connected to God. So, you know, God speaks to him. And so he starts going on this journey, and he doesn't even know where he's going. He doesn't know the final destination. God doesn't say, then this is going to happen, then this is going to happen, this is going to happen, and it's going to be amazing. He just says, go out on this road. You know the one in the desert? Yeah, go head that direction. That's all he gets. Yet he still obeys. And he's given us an example of how you and I can live our life. And so we look at stories like this, and I think we just got to say, God, use me. Man, I'd love for you to speak to me, just like you did here in this story. Just like I've even heard you do in other people's lives. Or, God, you know, you've spoken to me before. I just want to give you permission to do it again. Do it again. Speak to me again. I just want to be open and available for your spirit to prompt me. That's why I love that song we sang, you know, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Spirit, lead me. I give you permission to lead my life. And you can even push me outside of where I've been putting borders on you, God. You know, it's outside of our comfort zone that we talked about. Because sometimes we like to say, God, I love you and I'll do whatever until this point. And so we put borders on what God, we allow God to do in and through our life. Say, don't push us past that, because that would be scary or weird or I'm just not comfortable. We like to be comfortable, don't we? We really like our comfort. That song is a pretty scary song to sing. We're going to sing it one more time at the end, and I want to encourage you, don't sing it unless you really mean it. Because that's a dangerous prayer. Spirit, lead me where I have no borders to my faith and my trust. Blow off the borders. I'm just willing to trust you no matter what. Dangerous prayer, friends, but I love it. Because that's when God says, okay, all right, you ready? Sweet, here we go. And we can begin to see things like this. You see, here's the goal for us, guys, as followers of Christ. The goal for us is to live a Spirit-led life. That's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for myself. Constantly, I'm praying Galatians 5:16, which says, so I say, live by the Spirit. And it goes on to say, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. I want to be in this place where I live my life living by the Spirit. Maybe you're struggling with that sinful nature, you know, that the sinful desires that pull us away from God, that trip us up, that really lead to destruction. We can keep going there. We can have desires for that. Well, the Bible says, live by the Spirit, and then you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. So I've got to come back to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, fill me, empower me again. I submit to you. Help me, lead me. I want to live according to your way. I just need help right now. Live by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. This is how Jesus lived. Luke 4, chapter 4, verse 1 says this. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say full. Okay, it's a key word there. He's full of the Holy Spirit. He returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit. Everybody say led. In the desert. So this is that time where the Spirit leads him into the desert. He's full of the Holy Spirit and he's led by the Spirit. Hey, if the God-man, Jesus, needed to be full of the Holy Spirit and led by the Spirit, Lord knows we definitely need to be full of the Spirit and led by the Spirit, right? And so Jesus gives this model of how to live our life. He gave us this example. And this is the goal for us, to live this Spirit-led life. You know, our mission here is, you know, we want to love people, live like Jesus, and lead others to him. That's the mission of Bell Road Church. Now, live like Jesus is a very important part of it. We strive to live like he lived. And so in order for us to know how he lived, we got to study him, we got to read about him. And so what we learn in this verse is Jesus lived a life full of the Holy Spirit and led by the Holy Spirit. So Lord, I want to live that way too. I want to be somebody who is full of your Spirit, led by your Spirit. In fact, as we go through the book of Acts, we're going to see lots of stories similar to this one where the Spirit just speaks to people and leads them and guides them, and God uses them. It's pretty cool. I think it's important to also note this. This isn't something that happened like every hour of every day of their life. This book is really a highlight of some of the things that God did to birth and establish and grow his church. Okay, so we're praying, we're believing, we're trusting that God would use us in these ways. But if you're like, man, it didn't happen to me at all today. Is there something wrong with me? Because sometimes we read the book of Acts and we think that this happened every single day. Well, not necessarily. You just keep living that life where you fully trust in God and you're trying to live Spirit-led. And then sometimes these moments will happen. We just got to be ready and open and available. You hear me there? Okay, so back to Philip. Philip, message from God. Go, leave where you're at. Go on the desert road. So he starts walking down this desert road. It's a major road. It goes, like it said, from Jerusalem down to Gaza, which is the main road that goes all the way into Egypt and to North Africa. That's how people would travel and get into North Africa. So probably lots of people there. Philip's probably thinking, this is crazy. And God's doing some great stuff, but hey, I'm just going to obey God, because he immediately obeys God and starts walking. So he's out on this desert road, probably tons of people traveling along. And all of a sudden, as he's walking down the road, the Spirit speaks again. It's kind of cool. He's just doing a normal daily activity. He's just walking down the road. But in that moment, the Spirit speaks. And I think that that same thing can and will happen to us. The Spirit will speak to us just in normal moments of our life. Or all of a sudden, you're just doing what you're doing, you know, being responsible, working, whatever, hanging out, getting groceries, and all of a sudden, the Spirit will speak. Just like he speaks to Philip here. And I love Philip's response. Philip gives us, again, we're going to learn a lot from Philip and his example and his response in these moments. But Philip responds in a way that's different from a lot of us. If you ever had one of those moments where you feel like God is calling you to, like, go connect with someone, talk with someone, call somebody, all that. If you're like me, you're like, are you sure, God? Is that really you, God? They look kind of busy. I don't know if I should go bother them, you know. And so I don't know. It's kind of one of those, like, uncomfortable things. This happened to me just a few weeks ago. I was hanging out in Starbucks, I'm studying, and I just felt like God wanted me to talk to somebody. I felt this very strongly. And so I had one of these debates. We could probably call it argument. I argued with God. All right, so I don't know, God. He looks like he's kind of doing his thing, and I'm kind of busy. I got to study. I got to preach a sermon. Yeah, this is so important, God. You want me to go talk to somebody? You know, and I'm just having this discussion in my mind with God. I'm trying, no, that's not God. It's just me thinking I should go talk to this guy. Which, even if that's the case, is it bad to talk to somebody? Probably not, you know. I'm just rationalizing all this, and I'm just being vulnerable right now. Okay, maybe some of you identify. I've done things like this. Okay, if I come back and they're still there, then I'll know that you want me to talk to them, God. Or if they look at me right now. Oh, they didn't. All right, so maybe I'm just thinking this. I don't know, you know. I do all these crazy things, and I'm telling you, sometimes it's happened. Like, I come back, and there they are. Okay, God, you want me to talk to them. I will talk to them. It's kind of stupid how sometimes we really wrestle with this, but again, it's us stepping out of our comfort zone, right? Happened a few weeks ago. And so finally, I said, okay, this is clear. I felt strongly this was God saying, you need to go and connect with this guy. And so I went and talked with him in Starbucks, struck up a cool conversation with this guy. Talked for about 15 minutes. Really liked the guy. This guy works for the city of Phoenix. And the conversation moved into talking about our faith. And, you know, he told me, he says, man, you know, I believe in God. I'm a Catholic. I'm not a practicing Catholic, but I'm a Catholic, he says. And so we kind of moved from there and talking about that. And I'm like, you can come and hang out with us. You know, come and join our church, or just come and hang out with us at church and check us out. And I said, he's like, oh, is that okay, man? I'm a Catholic. I'm like, no, we got lots of Catholics, former Catholics, all that. You know, it's okay. You'll fit right in, you know. And so it's kind of one of those fun conversations that I had with him, and seemed generally interested. But, and I've been looking for him the last few weeks, and I haven't seen him yet. And so it's kind of one of those things where I just felt like I did what God called me to do, and you kind of leave the rest up to God. Maybe it was just a seed planted. Maybe I'll see him again in Starbucks, and I can go connect with him. Hey, man, how you doing? How's the job? How's this going? You know, school started, different things, you know. It's just a connection. Who knows where that will go? I just felt like I needed to respond in that moment. And you may have some of those moments, too, where you feel like the Spirit is prompting you. Let me encourage you to respond like Philip. What does Philip do? Did you catch his response here? He runs to the chariot. The Spirit speak. And again, this is one of those things where God doesn't say, hey, go and talk to that guy, and then you're going to lead him in faith, and you're going to baptize him. It's going to be this amazing experience. All the Spirit says is go stand next to that chariot. So what does Philip do? He doesn't have this, okay, then what, God? Then what do you want me to do? And now what are you going to say? Well, what am I going to do? You know, and he immediately runs to the chariot. That's great. That's awesome. I love that response. Let me just challenge all of us. You sense God speaking, just run. Okay, I'm going to do it right now. Probably a good thing, because then we can't talk ourselves out of it, right? So he runs, and he comes up close. Here's this guy reading out loud, and this is a great scenario, because this is almost like you wish God would do this in every situation. The guy's reading the Bible. It's like God's setting this up. Like, he's reading from the book of Isaiah. And so Philip's probably thinking, whew, okay, awesome. All right, it's great, awesome. Hey, I noticed you're reading the book of Isaiah. Do you know what this means? And he's like, no, I don't. The guy invites him up, and they start talking about this. And so what takes place is this cool little model that you and I can learn in engaging with people and having conversations with people. What's the first thing Philip does? Is he asks a question. And I think this is cool. Just you and I learning to ask questions. Right, and you connect with people right where they're at. And so that's really the point of what I want to make here in this part of the story, is that Philip starts with where the guy's at, but then he takes the conversation toward the gospel of Jesus. So he's asking questions, and questions are cool because it opens people up to talk, and we like to talk about ourselves, right? Yep, everyone does, okay? No one wanted to admit it in that moment, but we all like to talk about ourselves, okay? So you get people, just ask questions. How you doing? What's going on? You know, it's fun because it engages people, and it helps get the conversation moving and rolling. Then from there, you can just say, okay, God, just lead me and help me. I just want to connect with this person. And, you know, sometimes the conversation may not go towards the gospel, but I always like to pray, God, help me to at least plant a seed of just talk about how cool you are and how real you are. But I think the most important thing, even in those moments, is just to show an individual that I care about you. I actually value you as a person. But oftentimes, as God is prompting us in these moments, it's because he was already working on their heart. And he's already working something. We have no idea what that is. And so Philip moves the conversation into the gospel. He's asking questions, and we can do the same thing. And so it's a cool little story. It leads them to faith in Christ. They come up to some water, and the guy's like, hey, there's water. Why can't I be baptized right now? So he gets baptized. And so let's read the last two verses just to refresh our memory how the story ends. Verse 39. It says, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. So this is a fascinating ending to this story. Philip baptizes the guy, and then it says the Spirit of the Lord took him away. Took him away to Azotus. It says Philip appeared in Azotus. That really could be translated that he found himself in Azotus. That Spirit of the Lord took him away, literally saying the Spirit of God transported Philip into another location. Philip is baptizing somebody one moment, the next moment he finds himself in a different town. How crazy would that be? This is straight out of like Star Trek right here. This is Beam Me Up Scotty right here in the Bible, guys. It's like, boom, here, and then here. And some people look at this. This is one of those crazy miracles and crazy stories. Like, how could that? That's not even possible. How could that happen? But you got to come back to, if God really is God, and if he created us from dust and from nothing, then he can probably do that. There's several references throughout Scripture of things like this, where God did this. We've even heard stories throughout the centuries where God would transport people. Some people like to call it spirit travel, and then some people get way into this. Let me just, don't dive way into this and pray for this and study. I mean, there's some interesting stories out there, but people can get caught up way too much into the spirit travel thing, and you can take something that doesn't need to be a major and make it a major, okay? Just one of these things that it's kind of cool, but the point is this, is God just using us to share the gospel. That's what we want to focus in on. So Philip finds himself in another town. So what's he do? He starts preaching the gospel to all these towns, and he lands in Caesarea. We'll see Philip again in Acts chapter 21, 20 years later. And he will still be living in Caesarea. He'll have raised a family. He's got four daughters who prophesy. He's called Philip the Evangelist. And you can kind of see right here, he really has an evangelistic gift where he is planting churches, leading people to the Lord, and God is using him. In fact, before Acts chapter 21, Paul comes into a town in that area that already has a church established. How else would there be a church established there except for Philip was there preaching the gospel and starting churches and ministries right there? So Philip, pretty cool dude, and God used him in some pretty cool ways. But I think God can use us in similar ways as well. Let me ask you this question in light of this story. Think about this. What if Philip didn't obey? What would have happened? Pretty easy to answer that question. Man, he would have missed out on a lot. There's some pretty cool scenarios that happen because he first listened to God, head out into the desert road, and then go stand next to the chariot. All because of that, because he obeyed in those moments, all of a sudden we see one man having salvation. But who knows beyond that? Because here's a man who's a high-ranking official in Ethiopia. As he goes back to Ethiopia, who knows how many people come to faith in Jesus because of his testimony? All because Philip obeyed and shared the gospel with somebody, with one person. Then he goes and he preaches the gospel in all these other towns. He lands in Caesarea, and people are coming to faith in Jesus. Churches are being established, and people are finding that there is hope in Jesus and that he is real. This is pretty cool. All of that Philip, though, would have missed had he not obeyed. So think about you and I. What would happen if you and I don't obey? What do we miss out on? Now, the truth is we don't know. But we could miss out on some pretty cool things. And so I'm just encouraging you, in light of this story, to be someone who's open for the Spirit to speak, to prompt, and just walk in obedience to that. Sometimes we're like, I don't even know if this is God. Like, just step out and you're kind of, sometimes we're just learning to discern, is that God speaking to me? Sometimes we need to go to somebody else and say, I felt like God spoke this to me. I don't know. Can you help me? And we need to go to a trusted leader and flesh those things out. That is totally cool as well. Maybe you're one of those people that says, I don't know, man. This is kind of hard for me. I felt like I've asked God. He's never spoke to me. And let me just encourage you just to go to his word. Just to start there, because God really will speak to you through his word. The church is alive. The Spirit is alive. And because of that, the Spirit is alive through his word. This book is alive. It's living and active. And he will speak to you through his word. And so go there. Let God start speaking to you through his word and learn to develop and discern the voice of God speaking to you in your life. He wants to use you. The church grows by men and women who fully trust in God and allow the Spirit to lead them. And he wants to do that in our life. Have you ever felt the Spirit prompt you? If he does again in the future, let me encourage you. Run. Respond, obey, okay? Just do it, step out, okay? You know, we sing that song, I'm stepping out on the waters. It's a reference to Peter, like stepping out into the water. Sometimes that's how uncomfortable it feels. I feel like I'm stepping out, I'm trying to walk on water by doing this thing. It's so scary and freaky and uncomfortable for me. It's kind of how it feels. That's why I love that song and the prayer of that song. But here's the deal. I have this conviction that too many Christians live a life that's explainable without the Holy Spirit, and I don't think that should be so. I think that people should see us and see, man, things happen in your life. How does that happen? And you just say, does God working in my life? God's real. He's powerful. And he just speaks to me and he uses me. I think that the only explanation for your life should be that the Holy Spirit is empowering you, that he is filling you, and he is leading you. And he can do that in normal, everyday life through normal, average people like you and me. All of us. This isn't a call for the special people. This is a call for all of us. So just have this posture of God, I'm open, I'm available, I'm ready, I'm willing. And when the Spirit speaks, you got a decision to make. Respond. Trust. Run. Step out. So we're going to go into that song again, Oceans. We're going to sing that, kind of make it our prayer. Remember, it's a dangerous prayer. So if you're not ready to sing it and pray it yet, no judgment. But if you're really ready to pray it, come on, sing it out with all your lungs will give you. Say, that's me. Spirit, lead me, for my trust is without borders. And as we come to an end, I just want to end with a few practical, like, just challenges and things to encourage you with. One is we have this Crave booklet that we handed out to everybody last week. Many of you grabbed one, but if you don't have a Crave booklet, I'd love for you to grab one. They're in that table right there in the back of this room as you exit the door. There's a stack and a tray right there. This Crave booklet is really cool because the prayer is and the hope is that it stirs up just a hunger for more of God in our life, that we would crave Him more than we crave other things in our life. And if we're honest, oftentimes we crave other things more than we crave God. So there's some cool articles in there and ideas on a fast and how you can pray and just different things you can do practically. So grab one of those Crave books, read through it, let God speak to you through it, and just make some decisions on how you can respond, some things you can do to grow in feeding your faith and in starving your flesh. We want to feed our faith. We want to grow in our faith. So grab that Crave booklet. Keep using that. Keep reading through that if you already have it. And let me encourage you to take some time this month and fast. Do some sort of a fast. Change up how you spend time with God and how much time you spend with God. In fact, let me throw out this other just practical challenge. Every day this week, let me encourage you to spend 5 minutes in silence with God. 5 minutes in silence, just with God. Maybe take a scripture, meditate on it, pray it. God, speak to me. Just be silent. I firmly believe that we don't hear God speak to us because we have so much noise in our life that we don't hear Him speaking. We've kind of crowded Him out. We live such busy, noisy lives. And so this discipline or this habit of silence is so important in today's day and age. For some of you, to be silent is so uncomfortable. This is going to be one of the hardest things you've ever done, especially for the younger folk. Okay, let's be real. We are accustomed to noise. We love noise and all this. And like, if I'm going to have a prayer time, I want to turn on worship music. And I'm all for that. You know, turn on Oceans every single day this week and pray again and worship again. Spirit, lead me. But I'm also encouraging you to turn everything off and be silent and still before the Lord and listen. 5 minutes, and you watch what God does in your life. 5 minutes of silence and stillness before Him. We all need that, guys. Another thing I'd throw out is just praying this Galatians 5:16. It says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Hey, guys, we're called to live a Spirit-led life like Jesus. And if He needed to, we definitely need to. That's the goal, to be Spirit-led people. So pray that, Galatians 5:16. I want to live by the Spirit and not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. And one last thing I'll throw out is this 24/7 prayer room that we're gonna do again in just a few weeks. So we did it in January, it was awesome. Some of you are clapping because you know it was just such a cool experience. We're gonna do it again in 3 weeks, September 2nd through the 9th. We're starting signups today. There'll be a link on our Facebook page. If there isn't one there, it'll be there shortly. You can go online, you can sign up. We need to fill every hour of every day for 7 straight days. So we need the early morning shifts, the late night shifts, all of it. For 7 straight days, we're gonna pray and seek God in a room in the community center right across the parking lot there. I'd love for you to sign up. And if you do, I promise you, you will be glad you did. And however much you sign up for, you will wish you did more. Because what always happens. So if you've never done it before, sign up for 2 hours, not just 1 hour. Because you'll find that even if the prayer thing is new for you, the prayer room is awesome. And so you're like, 1 hour wasn't enough. And someone else comes in and you're like, oh man, I gotta go. Some people will say, hey, you don't mind if I stay for a little while, do you? We'll allow for some overlap, totally cool, not a problem. We're not gonna be legalistic on that, but it's just a way for us to cultivate prayer in our life and in our church by doing this 24/7 prayer room. We believe in the power of prayer. You don't have to wait for the prayer room. Obviously, man, just take some time to just be with God and pray and listen to Him this week. Those are just some practical things I want to encourage you to do so that you and I can actually be Spirit-led people. Would you stand to your feet? And we're going to take some time. We're going to pray and go back into some more worship and prayer time. So here's the goal, that you and I would be Spirit-led. And just be open to have moments like Philip had, like many people have had in our lives. You know, Amy and I were talking about lots of stories this week of where we've kind of sensed different things like this take place. It's always kind of fun to share those stories. Oh, remember when God did this? Remember when God did this? And again, though, I just come back to that song we sang earlier. That was cool, but God, do it again. Let's just be Spirit-led people again this week. So would you join me in prayer right now? Lord, we come to you right now. Again, so thankful for your faithfulness and your love. And Lord, we desperately want to be people who really are fully focused, surrendered, and submitted to you. Holy Spirit, we want to live a life surrendered and submitted to you. We recognize, Holy Spirit, that you are God, that you are God, that you have come to live in us, to empower us, to fill us, to help us to follow you and live this surrendered life. And so we surrender our life to you right now, Holy Spirit. Give you permission right now, again today, to move, to speak, to do something new in our life. Holy Spirit, speak. Holy Spirit, lead, even over these next few moments. Give you permission to do what you want to do. Holy Spirit, have your way in my life. Have your way in my life right now. Why don't you just go ahead and pray that prayer right now, just to yourself. Holy Spirit, have your way.
Again, for listening to this message of Bell Road Church. We hope you enjoyed it and that God spoke to you through it. Be sure to connect with us online via Twitter, Facebook, and at bellroadchurch.com.